everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Tom Fairbanks. Tom engineering and producing the show. Tom brought in the most beautiful lunch today. He does that to me on the other side of the glass. You know, I'm hungry, and then he brings in this beautiful sandwich with the homemade potato salad. How was it, Tom?
Delicious.
Oh, yeah, I bet it was.
roast beef and lots of it.
Yeah, and big chunks of potato in that potato salad. Anyway, it's Friday, May 12, 2017. Hope you had a great week. Our program is going to re-air, by the way. We re-air the program Saturday afternoon at 4 here on KVOI. On Friday, we do a media shout-out to all of our media friends who support us, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News, Saharita Sun, TucsonLifestyle.com, Southern Arizona News Examiner, and the Three Sonorans. Our Friday focus interview today, Tucson's Police Chief Christopher Magnus is with us and with me in studio to talk with the Chief, Tim Steller, columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Tim, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good to see you.
Thank you.
Doing very well. Chief, thank you very much for coming in.
Yeah, great to be with you.
Let's begin with the latest on the investigation into this infant formula tampering. What can you tell us at this point?
Well, it's, you know, obviously we got a lot of work ahead of us, but we wanted to get the information out as quickly as we could to the public, just because we are talking about infant formula and a very vulnerable population. So it was important. I was actually dozing off to sleep at an early hour last night, and I got the call about this, and we decided right away we wanted to do a event with the media just to inform the public that.
How late was that one?
Well, it was, I think we. I know I got to the department around 9, and we went live with the media at 10.
But so you could get it on all the TV.
Yeah,
stations.
We.
That's important.
We're
talking
is.
About this infant. You
exactly.
Know, yeah.
I mean, I think the only, if there's anything even remotely less sinister about this, it's the fact that it seems to be mostly motivated by financial gain. In other words, this wasn't somebody who was, from the looks of it, trying to poison formula and put it back on the shelf, but it certainly does it does put people in harm's way when you have somebody, you know, purchasing or perhaps stealing, we're still not quite sure, formula, taking it home, dumping the contents out, because I guess this is expensive stuff, and then refilling it with various substances, which so far seem largely benign, but which can still make someone ill. I mean, you know, there's a difference between giving your child formula and flour. So we don't know all the ingredients. We're still looking into that. There's lots of work ahead. Suspect has already facing a couple of felony charges, and there may be more to come.
And are you warning then all the stores about this too?
Yes, yeah. We are. We're working, and we've gotten very good cooperation from the stores. There are a couple of Walmart and Fry locations, and there may be other businesses as well, which is why we wanted to get the word out.
Right.
You know, essentially telling people, you know, if it looks or smells unusual, if it looks like the seal has been tampered with, because from what we can tell, this particular suspect was, you know, she went to a fair amount of trouble. Amazingly, she even used some sort of glue to reattach the seal, but it's still not what you would typically experience if you're buying the product. So we're just saying, if it looks unusual, then make sure you get a hold of us and bring the product by our evidence facility.
So how many incidents are you talking about discovering?
Well, we don't really know for sure. We know that there have been several in the last couple of days, but the investigation is also suggesting that there have been more over the past couple of months, which, you know, further highlighted the need to kind of get the word out, because there may be people who purchased this even a couple of months ago, or perhaps bought in bulk, and, you know, it's just worth taking a closer look. Frankly, I'll be surprised if people find evidence of this and purchases they've made. I think it would be very rare, but, you know, when we're talking about infants, you can't be too careful. So,
and also, there was some indication that there could be more than one suspect doing this kind of thing. Is that right?
Yeah, it's possible that there is more than one individual involved. So we are looking into all of those possibilities right now. I'll tell you, I'm so, you know, I've been so impressed with our investigators, because this was a particularly busy period of time for these folks who are dealing with various crimes that involve infants or children, and their dedication, they're working around the clock. I mean, literally around the clock, and I couldn't be more impressed. So Tucson residents should know that we're on top of it.
So, and it's completely separate, but also alarming incident. Apparently, a girl was found possibly murdered on the southeast side. Can you tell us anything about that?
Yeah. So, at this point, we can't say conclusively what the cause of death is, or that it is even a homicide, a murder with certainty. But obviously, a very tragic set of circumstances when you have a discovery of a young woman's body, and we are working very closely with again our law enforcement partners. This is a tragic case from every piece of evidence we have so far, and we're working closely with the Sheriff's Department and others on it.
Proposition 101, from a personal standpoint, Chief Magnus, how big a deal is this to you and the people that you work with?
Well, it's really, to me, one of the biggest deals since I've been here. And I think in terms of where we're headed as a department, it's hugely significant. The department, you know, is a microcosm of larger challenges in the city. If we look at roads, for example, or infrastructure, we have really struggled financially as a city for a very long time, and things have been put off, maintenance has been deferred, purchases have been held up. And, I mean, you can go for a certain amount of time doing that, just as we've seen with the roads, right?
Right.
But at some point, you really get to a place, for example, if it's roads, where you can't just put a slurry coat on top and call it good. You have to literally, start from scratch. You have to rebuild that road. We are now rapidly reaching that point in the police department where we have been driving some of these vehicles so long, well over a decade in many cases. And these are hard miles. I mean, anybody who's seen Tucson roads knows that. These are cars that they don't even make anymore. So we are literally cobbling together parts. We have
your mechanics must be magicians.
Yeah, you took the words out of my mouth. Yeah. I mean, the mechanics are amazing, but they will tell you there is really only so far they can go.
Yeah.
And, this is a police officer's office. And so this also contributes not only to their efficiency and effectiveness, but candidly, I think it contributes to their morale, because when the message is, this is the best we can do for you, yet we expect you to give 110%, that's not a good message. So it's, and of course, this proposition is not just about cars. It's about, we're talking about
protective vests.
Absolutely. These vests the cops wear expire. We're one of the few departments our size that isn't regularly replacing vests like this. That, to me, is just wrong. We're talking about technology. We depend on, think about your own need to use a laptop or, software, mm-hmm. and the fact that we all know at some point that has to be replaced or updated.
Yeah.
We have to do that. We're talking about body cameras. We're talking about a wide range of things that are, I just think, essential. So,
is there a number of specific number of vehicles, vests, et cetera, that are attached to the possible passage of this?
I would invite public that has questions or that is still in the process of filling out a mail-in ballot, because just a quick reminder that it's probably too late at this point to mail those in if you want it counted. There are 7 drop-off locations around the city, and they are on the City of Tucson's website homepage. You can see those locations, but there are also in that same location on the city's website, you get a full accounting for how every penny is going to be spent. This is probably one of the most specific, narrowly targeted propositions that I have ever seen. The city cannot deviate even in a particular category. For example, if we're talking about cars, they can't even deviate 10% from what is laid out specifically as part of the proposal. And there are not one but two citizen oversight boards that have been set up to make sure that all of this money is spent exactly on what we are representing to the voters. So I know there's some, I hear that some of that cynicism and frustration out there about, is this really going to go where, you know, I've had so many people say to me, we support the police and firefighters, but is this money really going to go towards their needs, or is it going to be diverted to something else? And I think the answer very clearly is yes, it will go to specifically what has been indicated.
All right, we're at our break time, but Tom, I do want to, let's see if we can work Robert's question in. He's been on hold quite a while. Robert, what's on your mind?
Hi, Chief Magnus. You've been baked in with roads. We do not trust that this money will be spent for what it's intended for.
Just what the
I
chief
just heard
saying.
What you said yeah. with regard to these oversights. But can we count on you to be the barometer and report back that you are actually getting what is being promised here?
Okay.
If we vote yes.
Yeah, Robert, thanks for that question. And I can tell you there will be no voice louder than mine if that money is, because, I mean, my credibility is on the line here, too. This isn't just about city council members or even the city manager. The fire chief and I have been very involved in saying, here's what our priorities are. Here's what we need. And, you know, if there's some effort to steer that away, which I genuinely do not believe will happen, but you can be sure I will be the first to speak up about that because my integrity is more important to me than anything else. So.
All right, let's take a break right here. Chief Magnus sticks around for another segment. 790-2040 is our live line number. Tim Steller's not going anywhere. I won't let him.
He's you watch too. Me.
All right. No, you're not walking out the door, buddy. Anyway, we'll be right back. The excitement is building for the grand opening in 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Summer reading is free and fun at the Pima County Public Library, where your new favorite book is waiting for you. At librarypima.gov, we have hundreds of free activities, programs, and special events just for kids May 20th through July 15th. Dream big this summer. Visit your local library or librarypima.gov to find out how.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. The Buckmaster Show features Arizona newsmakers and more than two dozen Buckmaster Show contributors. Everything from foreign affairs to the arts is on the table and open for discussion, and your calls from one end of Southern Arizona to the other. The Buckmaster Show, weekdays during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice, and we're always on buckmastershow.com. All right, welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Our Friday Focus interview today, the Chief of Police is with us, Chief Magnus, and Tim Steller is here, Tucson, Arizona Daily Star columnist. Tim, you want to lead off here? We're going to change subjects now from Prop 101.
Sure, yeah. So I noticed earlier today, Chief, that you tweeted about a decision by the U.S. Attorney General to reverse some sentencing policies set out in the Obama administration. What is it that the new attorney general is doing, and why don't you like it?
Well, I think, you know, one of the things we've been reaching a growing consensus on really over, I think it's been momentum that's been growing over the past decade, is this idea that we have to be smarter on crime. This isn't a Democrat or a Republican issue. It's not a right versus left. It's the idea that we know there are some things that are more effective at reducing crime than others. And one of them is the way we incarcerate people, for how long, under what circumstances, for what types of crimes. And, you know, there, we already have one of the highest incarceration rates of any country in the world. And we really need to be smart about this, because putting people in prison, for one thing, a very small number of them are going to stay there forever. And if they come out much worse than when they went in, that seems to be a failing proposition, on top of the fact that it already is so incredibly expensive. And so, you know, a lot of folks, ranging even from the Koch brothers on the right, folks with the Arnold Foundation, another very conservative think tank, have joined folks across the political spectrum to say, we got to be smarter about the length of time and do nonviolent drug offenders. I'm not talking about drug dealers. I'm not talking about drug kingpins, people who have a history of violent crime. But I'm talking nonviolent drug offenders who, smaller amounts, maybe not even principally involved in whatever it might have been. How much sense does it make to fill up scarce beds, disrupt entire families, and in some cases, you know, more than one family, by putting people in prison for lengthy periods of time and going back to mandatory minimums for these type of offense, taking discretion away from prosecutors? I just think it's a giant step backwards. And if we're really focused on safety, both in the long and short term, we need to, you know, not take a giant step backwards.
What can you say about the immigration situation? Is immigration status a barrier to protecting the people of this community?
Well, look, here's what I can say, is that we are a safer community when people, regardless of their documentation status, are willing to talk to the police. We are a safer community when people are willing to report crimes, when they're willing to come forward as witnesses to crimes, when they're willing to testify in court cases. We are a safer city. And when people go into the shadows and are unwilling to come forward, and we're talking in overwhelmingly people who have no criminal records, they're not dangerous individuals, they're in many cases relatives or very close to people who are in this country legally. When those people are unwilling to work with us, we suffer as a larger community. So, you know, I wish we could get away from this discussion or even the use of the term sanctuary city, because Tucson PD, like most police departments, works very closely with our federal partners at Homeland Security, ICE, Border Patrol, when it comes to dealing with dangerous or violent criminals, when it comes to human trafficking, when it comes to drugs.
Most
absolutely
cities.
Most this is where I hate politics.
Don't they, most of them have interaction?
No,
every
of course,
day you're dealing right. with interaction. With
because
them.
That's where the focus should be placed. But when we take it that next step, I mean, here, you know, we were talking about Prop 101 and the scarcity of resources. I mean, it raises the question seriously. Do you really want your local police to take on an added duty? I mean, how long do people have to wait right now just to get a cop to take a burglary report? And then we're supposed to be the immigration police? To me, that makes absolutely no sense. And I just think that that's the consensus, frankly, of a great many police chiefs in cities our size across the country.
Chief, you had a chance to show that a couple months ago, a situation you and I talked about in which Border Patrol lost control of somebody who escaped the hospital, and you all were called in to help with the search. You called off the search, your participation in the search after a couple hours, and that raised the hackles of some Border Patrol agents. So whatever happened with that? Have you guys worked that out, or does conflict remain or what?
No, we've definitely worked it out. And the thing is, you know, what's funny is I had a Border Patrol supervisor who came up to me the other night in an off-duty capacity and said, you know, I just want you to know that this had nothing to do with the agents on the ground here. This was political. It involved some top people in our union who took advantage of a situation to misrepresent what happened. And, you know, we know that we can count on you guys just as you can always count on us. And that's really has been the relationship for a long time. If Border Patrol agents need help with something, if they're in an emergency, of course, we're going to support them. But, you know, I think there's unfortunately so much politics wrapped around this issue. And it's no secret that the Border Patrol Agents Union was very involved in the last election. I think they're still looking to flex their muscle. You know, I get that. It's frustrating to me when it comes at the expense of our hardworking officers who, for example, in that incident, as we know, spent more than 2 hours, multiple people out there looking for that escaped individual, longer than we probably would have spent looking from one of our own, you know, if we had a similar escapee, in the interest of teamwork and cross-agency cooperation. So look, have we worked that through and had some good conversations since then with folks from the Border Patrol? Absolutely. And that's our approach in general, is whether it's with the Sheriff's Department, whether it's with the Border Patrol, we work cooperatively back and forth, but we all have our distinctive roles to play, and I think that's appropriate.
So, but it is a dicey situation. There are legitimate differences of opinion, aren't there, as to whether a given person is a threat or, for example, whether where to draw the line as to whether a person should be arrested and turned over to immigration because their crime is that serious. Aren't these judgment calls your officers are making all the time?
Well, there, of course, there always is a certain amount of judgment. But mm-hmm. remember, we've done a great deal of training and work around how we enforce what is Arizona state law. SB 1070 is the law. We follow the Attorney General's rulings on that. We, you know, we keep data on that. But of course, there will always be some police officer discretion. And basically, the feedback we're giving our officers is follow the law, follow our policy, but also do what is humane, just, and constitutional. And the last one of those, to me, is the most important, because our first, you know, All the political rhetoric aside, we need to follow the Constitution, which means we enforce this law in a professional and appropriate and constitutional way. And I think we've been successful at that so far.
How are we staffing compared to other cities our size? What is your staffing situation?
It is a struggle. It really is. Because, you know, when you look at, I don't know what these staffing numbers always take on a certain life of their own, but, you know, there are many cities our size where the staffing level is much closer to 1,200-1,300 officers. Here, we struggle to stay in the 900s. And that means, you know, we have to make some tough decisions sometimes about
you know, who's going on the street and who's behind your desk.
And one thing that I'm not going to compromise is officer safety. I mean, these men and women have not only some very tough calls to make, but they also have a great deal of ground to cover here. And so we do struggle with this.
A huge city.
But we're recruiting right now. And we're not only recruiting for police officer, but we're recruiting for what we call our community service officers. And you can get into that at the age of 18 even. And those are folks who make it possible then for the officers to focus on things that only they can do. But the CSOs, as we call them, handle many other types of calls for service, which is so valuable and is really a force multiplier for our cops. So if people are interested in either one of those jobs,
how do they get more?
As well as dispatcher positions. Yeah. The other thing, they need to really take a look at our website and contact our recruiters, because these are good jobs and they're incredibly valuable to the community.
We're out of time, but I always have an extra question. I can do that. It's my show, right?
Yeah.
As far as the joining forces with the county, with the 911, is that consolidating those departments? Talk of that coming?
So I don't see anything happening in the immediate future with the sheriff's department as far as consolidation. But what I do see happening, and in fact, we've been working very closely with the fire department on, is consolidating police and fire dispatch so that our own residents get faster response to calls, that we are much more efficient and effective in the way we handle 911 calls. And I really think we're taking steps right now to build a better 911 center within the working group that we have, but we do need more dispatchers.
Okay.
And so this is a work in progress, but it's important work, and it's going to make a safer community.
So if someone would like to be a dispatcher, they can find information on the website?
They can. Okay. And we are hiring right now. We're training people. We're cross-training them to be both police and fire dispatchers. So that's an important change, and I think it's also going to make for a very rewarding career for people. It's a tough job.
The now hiring sign is out at TDD.
It is. And that, you know, that was my first job, Bill, back in 1979.
Really?
I was the dispatcher. And I was one of the hardest back in Lansing, Michigan, in their 911 center. So I'll vouch for the fact. I still look back and think, oh, that was hard. But it was
hard, but so
important
vitally
work.
Important and saving
absolutely.
Lives.
You
Chief
bet.
Magnus, thank you very much. Hope you have a great weekend.
Nice to be with you both.
Thanks a lot.
We'll
be right back on the Buckmaster Show. The legislative session wrapped up this week. Hank Stevenson will join Tim Steller and I. Hank covers, he's a reporter covering the legislature at the Arizona Capitol Times. So we'll be right back. The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org, and remember to always start with trust.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Dive into the culture section with the latest on the arts. Book reviews from Rebecca Guthrie. What movies are hot or not from Bob Garver. Eric Peters brings his unique point of view with his auto reviews. Check out where you could vacation regardless of the season. It is culture news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Friday edition. Tim Steller, columnist with the Arizona Daily Star, is with us. And on the live line, Hank Stevenson, Hank, reporter for the Arizona Capital Times. We wanted to bring Hank into the conversation to talk a little bit about maybe the winners and losers of the legislative session, which just wrapped up. Hank, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, Bill.
So what do you think? Who are the winners and who are the losers?
I think it's safe to say that the governor got almost everything he asked for out of the legislature and the budget process. I would put him in the winner's category. The initiative process was a big loser this year. There were several bills kind of changing the way that initiative campaigns will have to be run, making it much harder for them to make it onto the ballot. You know, I think teachers maybe came out as a wash. They really wanted a 4% raise was what they were pushing for alongside some of the Democrats of the legislature, and ended up getting a 1% raise with the promise that it will increase to a 2% raise next year, which means, you know, about $1,000, and really put that in the grand scheme of things, you know, in a year-long contract, $1,000 doesn't make that much of a difference. But it was a raise, so maybe we'll call that one a wash.
Okay.
So, Hank, what's hi, by the way, and how are you doing?
Hey, Tim.
I am wondering about the initiative bills that came out, and what are the prospects going forward? I know there's at least one challenge to one of the laws. And then I guess a referendum effort as well. What are the chances that those get either overturned legally or overturned in an election?
Yeah, there were two initiative laws. One was requiring that initiatives meet strict compliance to the law. So that means basically they could be thrown out for anything as little as using the wrong font size or the wrong margin size or little technical problems like that. And the other one was changing the way that signature gatherers can be paid. This only applies to signature gatherers working on an initiative campaign. Of course, It doesn't apply to signature gatherers being paid by candidates to go out and gather their signatures to qualify the candidate for the ballot. But basically, that law said that you can no longer pay the signature gatherers by the signature. That is the way the market works. That's you know, a system that the free market has deemed valuable for this, because obviously you don't want to pay somebody, say, $20 an hour to go out and gather signatures and they come back with one. So it's kind of based on, you know, how many signatures, how many valid signatures you can actually gather. Those two laws, when taken in combination, would have a profound impact on the initiative process. So right now, people are trying to run a referenda campaign against both of those laws independently. There's also a lawsuit filed against one of them. Frankly, I don't know the prospects of this lawsuit, how likely it is to be successful. It was filed late yesterday. I have read a couple news stories about it, but I haven't actually sat down and gone through it page by page and talked to some of my lawyer friends about it. But a referendum is really hard to pull off. You need about 75,000 signatures. You have 3 months to do it. They're the hottest 3 months of the year, and it really takes a lot of money, takes a lot of volunteers, and it's unclear if any of these groups threatening a referendum, they've filed paperwork. They are working on a referendum on this, but it's a tall hill to climb, so it's unclear if they'll, you know, be successful. These are very rarely successful. There's a lot of referendums filed, and very few ever actually make it to the ballot.
And then I suppose they would be challenged by the same people, for the same signatures that they gather, et cetera, would be challenged by probably the Arizona Chamber or some interest group associated with them. The usual set of obstacles would be thrown up, even if they can get to 75,000, one presumes.
Yeah, and actually, you know, referendums are already subject to strict compliance. So it's not just a matter of making the signature or getting the number of signatures. It's, you know, making sure that your referendum doesn't have any, margin errors, any technical problems that could get it thrown out in court.
All right. One of our callers, Tom, is up to the plate, has a question about the state budget, which was just passed, and I don't know, I think the governor already sign the budget, Hank?
He hadn't as of yesterday. Oh. I haven't seen anything new as of today, but I've been kind of away from Twitter, so it could have happened while I wasn't paying attention.
How dare you step away from Twitter?
All right, here is caller Tom. Tom, go ahead.
Since the budget has been increased, how much in percentage will my property tax go up this autumn?
It's a local issue, right, Hank Stevenson?
Yeah, the state budget shouldn't impact your property tax. That'll be county stuff occasionally. Maybe city stuff could play into that. But as far as I know, there's no tax hike coming to you from the state legislature.
How about on the race for governor? It seems to be shaping up. We've got Steve Farley, who has all but declared his mm-hmm. candidacy, Senator Farley. And then you've got Dr. Garcia, who ran unsuccessfully for school superintendent against Diane Douglas. How do you see that shaping up? Education certainly is the centerpiece for the two Democratic candidates. And you've got the governor saying that he's just had a big win, that he's the education mm-hmm. governor with this session. How do you see it?
Yeah, I think it's smart for the Democrats to make, you know, education the centerpiece of their campaigns. Whether or not that translates into any actual increase, I mean, Democrats usually run on education. This year it does seem to be kind of the issue that voters want to talk about more than it even has in the past. But I think Ducey, in pulling off this budget, is able to walk away and say, look, we gave more money to teachers. You know, we gave more money to schools in general. We're doing this big bonding package for the university. I do care about education. I think the Democrats can counter that and say it was a tiny raise. You're allowing the universities to borrow money. The money that we put to schools is just simply not enough. But I think the governor is in a very strong position heading into his reelection campaign. Whichever Democrat makes it out of the Democratic primary is going to have their work cut out for them. Taking down Ducey is no small feat.
as good as the Democrats' argument may have been, and I think I largely agreed with them in their final deal making in Phoenix, there's just something completely unappealing about you should have done more as a campaign platform. Like, yeah, you did something, but you should have done more.
Right.
Well, it just doesn't feel like a winner to me.
It doesn't sell the way that cuts would have sold.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
If we were back in 2010 or so and we were still slashing the budget, you can really, you know, pull some heartstrings with that stuff. But when it's talking about a 1% raise versus a 4% raise, I mean, it's kind of gray area, right? Yeah.
Then there's the Trump factor, and you wrote about this today, Tim Steller, about our two senators maybe not doing enough to speak up against Trump, and you've got Flake up for re-election next year.
Yeah. So, speaking of you should have done more arguments, I guess that's my argument today. Yeah, but then again, I'm not running for office.
Right.
There's a really good question as to whether enough is being done to independently investigate the firing of the FBI director. I'm sorry, to independently investigate the Russian tampering and then separate that mm-hmm. from any administration influence. And you know, what they should do is actually a difficult question because it would take the administration appointing an independent counsel for that to happen. John McCain has advocated for a select congressional committee. I don't know. I mean, that is something different, although I'm not sure why it would be that much different from having the two intelligence committees investigating as they are now. I think the broader point, though, for me is that frequently McCain and Flake have been critical of Trump vocally,
yes.
But then when it came down to whether to vote with him or against him, they pretty much always vote with him.
Hank, it's difficult. Everybody knows how difficult it is to knock off a sitting congressperson, a United States representative. They're up for election every 2 years. But when it comes to a U.S. senator, like in Flake's case, this is going to have to be somebody that's got a lot of money and a huge name recognition, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I mean, you have to be able to mount a statewide campaign, and that is, you know, the hardest campaign that you're going to run in Arizona, is trying to, you know, hit all four corners of the state, all 15 counties, all 91 cities and towns. You know, that takes a lot of money, that takes a dedicated staff, that takes political know-how to do it right. It's a very tough thing to knock off a sitting, you know, congressperson, or you know, all that much harder to knock off a senator.
Now, what are you hearing? I reported today that Randy Fries is considering a run against Flake. You got any more information on that since you cover the House?
You know, I asked him about that a week or two ago. We had heard, you know, the standard annual rumor that he's eyeing CD2 against Martha McSally. And added on to that maybe he's looking at running for U.S. Senate as well. And I asked him point blank, and as usual, he's a little bit squirrely about it, saying, oh, I'm keeping my options open or something
right.
to that
yeah,
effect.
Have we heard that before? Right?
He was a little more specific with me this week when he said he was definitely considering it. Yeah, he said he was considering it, and that's about all I got. But apparently there's some question as to whether Sinema, Kyrsten Sinema, the U.S. Representative, is also going to jump in the race. I think he probably would defer to her. Mm-hmm. She has more name recognition, especially in Phoenix, and he's just a state representative after all.
And in CD2 on the Democratic side, kind of another shoe that a lot of people are waiting to drop would be, is Ann Kirkpatrick going to move into the Tucson area and run for CD2? I've talked to a lot of people who say yes, and a lot of people who say no.
Oh, wait a minute here. I got a partial answer for
okay,
you.
Okay, please.
I talked to her. So Ruben Gallego event in which he had a forum in Martha McSally's district at
right.
Rincon High the other day
right.
was a magnet for all those people who were thinking of running for CD2 on the Democratic side. And Ann Kirkpatrick was one of them. I talked to her briefly, and yeah, she told me that she has moved into Tucson.
Really?
She said for family reasons, which is one of those, you know, catch-all explanations, mm-hmm. and that she is considering running for the nomination in CD2.
Oh.
She was among at least six possible contenders who were there. I listed five of them today, left out a guy named Charlie Verdon, who emailed me today. Bruce Wheeler, Matt Hines, Billy Kovacs.
Hines?
I'm forgetting. Matt Hines, Dr. Matt Hines, who
is
lost
he in
last
again?
Time. No, but boy, standing there next to him at the exit, you know, he was perfectly positioned at the exit as people left, and they were coming up to him saying, boy,
oh
I voted for you. I wish you would have won. You know, I mean, I think there's some regrets on people's parts.
We'll have to have the candidate forum for that one at McHale.
Yeah,
Hank Stevenson. Hank, we're going to let you go. Thank you. Appreciate your work at the Arizona Capital Times. Have a great weekend.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks a lot.
Take
Hank
care,
Stevenson.
Hank.
Tim, Hank does a great job.
Oh, he's one of the best.
Yeah, I mean, the whole Arizona Capital Times award-winning, they do a terrific job. We had Bruce Wheeler here on the show yesterday, and I think Bruce is realistic enough to know it's going to be a huge field.
Oh, yeah. Crowded. I mean, he's said he's in it.
Yeah.
I mean, he hasn't filed anything official, but yeah, there's a lot of people.
I mean,
it's going to shake out.
People with a lot of name recognition, like Bruce, and then Ann Kirkpatrick, perhaps. You got a young newcomer named Billy Kovacs. He's 30 years old, and he's running. So, you know, on and on it goes.
Yeah.
I'm going to go on vacation, and by the time I get back in 2 weeks, maybe there'll be a lot more people.
Oh, yeah. I was talking to a Democratic fundraiser who told me he had a list. I can't remember if it was 20 or whatever, and that, you know, 20 had been on and 10 had come off, but more were, you know, being added and subtracted every day.
I am not a candidate. All right. We're going to take our break right here. Matt Russell will be with us with Weekend Watch. Thank you so much, Tim Steller. We'll look for your work Sunday. Did you write the column yet, or are you headed over to Rincon Market to think of, get some ideas?
No, I got my idea working, but I have
not
writing yet.
Okay.
No, it's all right. I'm writing a bit about the whole escapade with the subsidizing the American Airlines flight to JFK.
Okay, we'll be right back. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant. Named after the classic New Orleans cocktail, Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza.
This is T. Van Hook, CEO of Habitat for Humanity Tucson. Are you or someone you know ready to purchase a safe, affordable home? We are currently seeking individuals and families to become the owners of new and refurbished homes in the greater Tucson area. At Habitat Tucson, we believe that everyone deserves a decent, affordable place to call home. For information, visit us at habitattucson.org or call us at 326-1217. Habitat Tucson is an equal housing opportunity provider.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Summer reading is free and fun at the Pima County Public Library, where your new favorite book is waiting for you. At librarypima.gov, we have hundreds of free activities, programs, and special events just for kids May 20th through July 15th. Dream big this summer. Visit your local library or librarypima.gov to find out how.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's just a very pleasant three-hour drive east of Tucson to Silver City, where over Memorial Day is the Big Blues Festival, 22nd annual. Go to southwestnewmexico.org. There'll be the full listing of the many great places to stay. There's a couple of dozen great places. And not only the Blues Festival, but the many recreation opportunities are listed at southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now the host of Weekend Watch, award-winning Tucson publicist, the culinary and beverage writer for Inside Tucson Business, Mr. Matt Russell. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing just spectacularly, Bill. Thanks. How are you?
Doing very well. If you like raw fish, we've got a treat for you.
You certainly do. Fans of the Hawaiian style of chopped sushi, known as poke, are celebrating the recent opening of Poke Zone downtown on Congress. It's an entire concept built on the beauty of poke and its sensational scoopability. It starts with a bowl of rice, followed by one, two, or even three scoops of your favorite fish, and we're talking ahi and salmon, yellowtail, octopus. Then you choose from six different sauces and 14 toppings, blend it all together, and you are in poke heaven. I think these fun and fresh flavors are perfect for this weekend. Check out Poke Zone.
Poke Zone. Head down to the zone. How about those that love a nice vodka?
Yeah, I tell you, we talk a lot about the craft beer scene on Weekend Watch, but the craft distilling industry is really taking off, and that's apparent this week with the recent launch of Tucson's first locally crafted vodka by Three Wells Distilling Company. Now, this vodka is made from a proprietary distillate of corn and local well water. Hmm. And local chemists say it's this water that reportedly makes the difference given its pH level. So Three Wells Tasting Room, it's open this afternoon on 44th Street, just east of Palo Verde. Try this new local vodka and your favorite cocktail, and I say celebrate Tucson's spirit.
Let's celebrate our moms as well, huh?
So many ways to do it. A few that got my attention, Bill, are Guinea's French Cafe. They've got two-for-one mimosas. The Cup Cafe downtown has a great duck confit frittata with a cherry creme fraiche. And check this out, Bill. At all Flores restaurants, and of course that's El Charro, Cervezas, and Charro Steak, moms eat free Sunday. You heard me, free.
Oh, boy.
That's a Mother's Day moment that we can all rejoice in. I say happy Mother's Day to my own beautiful mother and all moms.
Terrific incentive there. How about Inside Tucson Business?
Well, you know, I judge a lot of local and national food competition.
I know.
I had never actually competed in a food competition myself until recently, so how did I do? You can read about my dish and the judge's results in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business.
We will look forward to it. Matt, great weekend to you, buddy.
Right back to you, sir. Thanks.
Thanks a lot. All right. Coming up this weekend on Swap Shop, Trains A-Comin' with Mr. Charles Heller, the host. Charles tells me that
He's urging everybody to feel free to call in and offer up for sale any Mother's Day gifts that you didn't want and can't return without the receipt. That's on Swap Shop with Charles Heller. All right, the Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. So many people to thank, including the original theme composer of our music, Mr. Christophon. There's a link to his music at buckmastershow.com. Rosemary Brandt, thank you, Rose, for all the work you do, making sure all of our podcasts are posted and archived on the website. The whole gang here, the whole team at KVOI, from Doug and Mary Martin all the way through everybody that works at this fine radio station, including Mr. Tom Fairbanks, does such a great job for me on Fridays, engineering and producing the show. Monday through Thursday, Ray Allen is in the same chair that Tom is in, and Ray does a great job as well. Jerry Cross, the production manager, does a terrific job. The whole team here wishing you a wonderful Mother's Day weekend. We'll be back with you. I'll be on vacation next week, but we've got some great guest hosts. Have a good one.